Things. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go ahead and open up to Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll title this today, Expectations. I looked it up that after writing down some notes, I looked up to see because I thought Brother Branham might have preached a sermon that night, titled that, and boy did he. There was a bunch of them. And so, Expectations. Jeremiah chapter 29, we begin at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem into Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take ye wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. I do want to say, he's not telling them to marry people in Babylon. He's saying, while you're in Babylon, you go ahead and marry one another like you should, so that you increase and you don't diminish. Amen. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, I have not sent them, saith the Lord. me just make a little comment about that. If you remember, there was a situation there where one of the prophets, that he's speaking, a false prophet, rose up and said, "Oh, don't worry about it. We're only going to be here in Babylon for 2 years." Right? And he's saying, "I didn't send them." Right? So Jeremiah's the real prophet. He's going to say, "Don't listen to them, because here's the real situation. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. We thank you, Lord, because you are God in 2026. Lord, you know all things. You know everything that will transpire this year with each one of us and the whole world. And so, Lord, we just love you. We have confidence in you to know that you just have all things in your control and wrapped up into your program. Lord, we're just happy to be part of it. We're asking, Lord, this morning that you would just speak your word to us. We're asking, Lord, that you would go to those that are sick this morning. Perhaps some of them are streaming right now. We'd send your blessings to them also and ask, God, that you would just allow them to be able to partake of service today as though they were here. Lord, you are God in all places and to all people who will receive you as such. And so we just ask, God, for your blessings upon this service here and those that are in the distance. We love you, Lord, and we pray that you have your way in this service this morning. Strengthen those weak in body this morning from sickness and the different things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. Beloved.
Amen.
Amen. He is good to us. Here in these scriptures, here, Jeremiah chapter 29, God is telling the children of Israel what to expect. And he wanted to tell them that even in their condition, though they had been carried away into Babylon, and women knows that that was actually a punishment to them because of how they had gotten away from his word. But God said that, you know, that even though you're in Babylon here, I want you to understand that I have good thoughts concerning you, and I am going to bring you to an expected end, and I want you to expect that. He's trying to tell them, hey, you're going to have to sit here. You're going to have to endure this. It's going to have to be here for a while. But don't worry, because when my time is up, whenever it comes, I will visit you, and I will perform my good word toward you and bring you to an expected end.
Amen.
And so we believe that, even in their situation. So no matter what situation we find ourselves in, I think God wants us to have an expectation. So as we are here going into 2026, and that could be no more true than ever before. Right now, it's for us to have expectations here in 2026, to believe God for every promise, no matter how far down the road we go, to believe Him for what He says He is going to do. So, you know, if you go back and we talk about this in the past, how that whenever and especially if you read the Church Age book, you'll see this in there, that coming out of Eden, you know, back then, there was a time when everyone knew that there was one God, right? Think about it. You got the Garden of Eden, there is nobody else, and it all starts right there, and they all know that there's one God, you know, and so it goes from there, and as time goes on, we find out that Nimrod rose up, and he's the one, you know, started this movement of many gods, and that became Babylon. We know that. And so what happens there, as I hope you don't get tired of me saying this, because this is what happens when people leave the true word of God, there is only one thing, and that is to come to Babylon. Now, not necessarily the physical place, but Babylon represents everything outside of true worship of God. Everything outside of that is confusion. Babylon. And we see that right there in Genesis. And the prophet tells us the book of Genesis is the seed book of the Bible. And when you'll find everything that was planted right there that's with us today, you see it planted right there. And right. And so all the different religions and all the things that's going on now, you'll find it right there in the scriptures there in Genesis.
Right.
Coming to its fullness here at the end time in the book in Revelation. And so when I'm hoping that we can understand this, that when we as individuals, any time that we reject God's word, we pull away, or even slothful in accepting his word, that can only lead to one thing. And it can only lead to something less than the blessings of God, less than life, less than peace and liberty. It can only go in that direction to sorrow and confusion and all kinds of things.
Right.
That's Babylon. That's what Babylon has to offer.
Right.
And confusion and just read Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 tells you that when they knew God and they failed to glorify him for what he was, they began to pull away from that and they began to go into idolatry and make him like unto four-footed creatures and things like that. And they began to worship the creation rather than the creator.
Right.
And
when doing that, that's Babylon. All worshiping all kinds of forms of gods and idolatry and so forth. But also with that becomes the confusion of men with men and women with women.
Yeah.
That was part of the curse.
Right.
So to say this, that any time we get away from God's word, we don't know where we're headed except we're headed to Babylon. You don't know what you're going to wind up being.
Right.
You might, and I've seen it. You've seen it. Somebody leave the message, believe the word of God, and you don't know what they're going to wind up believing. What they're going to wind up. Why? Because they're not in control. We're not in control even as believers. He's in control. That's the thing. But when we reject his leadership, you don't know what's going to happen to you. You might wind up believing, you might become a Catholic. You might become a Buddhist. You might become who knows what. See? And so we don't, you know, that's the thing there. Coming out of Eden and leaving the word of God, come into Babylon, many gods, idolatry, false worship, confusion, bondage. That's what happens to all peoples when they get away from God.
Right.
When you get away from a personal relationship with God, that's exactly what happens.
Right.
And I was in studying, and I heard Brother Branham talking about how that in all nations, all religions, not nations, but all religions, they worship the sun god. They had the worship in December for the sun god.
Right.
And so I looked it up. I got to looking it up, and it was unreal how many religions out there that worship the sun god. In just about every part of the world. I don't know if there was a part there wasn't. And if you know, that ties back to Baal. So it's all right here in the Bible. Amen? What you see has got its roots right back there.
Right.
And so I understood that, and so I got to looking that up, and then I realized that when you get away from God, you're going to go in all these other ways. And so that's what happened, and so the whole world turned into idolatry. And so when God come along, and you know, God has a plan of redemption, right? God has a plan of redemption, how he was going to come down and do the things he did to save us and die on the cross for us, and the whole thing, he's got it all laid out, and he would play it out in types and shadows. And so God, at some point, God would have to come down into this earth and get involved with some people. And people begin to act out things that were part of redemption, types and shadows, and so the scriptures tell us that the children of Israel, you know, Paul saying to his own people, there weren't anything special except that God chose them to bring forth the oracles of God, and he had to pick somebody to work through. And so we know from scriptures that he picked Abraham. He came out, and he could have picked Joe down the street, you know, or Bill that lives on top of the hill, but he picked Abraham. It just happened to be that, and it was God's choice on Abraham was what made the difference.
Right.
Right? That's what made the difference. So he had to call someone, and it just happened to be Abraham. Well, when God came down and he's coming down, he's going to start his work of redemption. He's going to start, and he's actually already been doing it, even in the garden, types and shadows of everything. But he's going to get involved, and he's acting out and his plan of redemption. And see, he calls Abraham. And what does he call Abraham to? He has to call him out of confusion.
Right.
He has to call him out of a land of many gods. This, we find all of ourselves, we are all Abraham. Mm-hmm. So God has to speak to us or nothing happens in our life. If he doesn't move upon us, then we'll just continue on as normal.
Right.
Right? So if God had not called Abraham, Abraham would still be an idolater.
Yeah.
See? The way God called him, and my point is that because I know that everything that goes on around us, it's all trying to get us to compromise from believing what we believe of one God and his plan of redemption and to become like everything else out here in Babylon. That's the battle. No matter what, how you slice it, that's what Satan's trying to do, is get us away from the word so we become part of Babylon. But God's program is to pull his people back out of that. So he calls Abraham and says, you got to come out of all that, right? And so now here's Abraham standing here in the world believing in one God, and he's got all these other nations and all these other people who are idolaters. And they're looking at him like, who do you think you are?
Right?
I don't know what they thought, but you could, even some of the movies that portray that, like, on the movie Abraham, where they're like, how many gods do you have? Well, I just got one. And they're like, well, he must be really poor.
Right?
But what I'm saying is that God has to call us out of those things. And when he does call you out, you're going to be different. You're going to be different, and there's going to be opposition, and you're going to be looked down upon. And in many cases, people that stood with God were martyred and all kinds of things they went through.
That's right.
Right? That happens, and we're not immune to that today.
No.
Matter of fact, the scripture says that everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right?
Right? So on your job or whatever it is, in your own family, with your own kinfolk, if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, there's opposition coming at you,
right?
Now, you can call yourself a Christian, but if you're not living godly, well, that's not anything. So you understand that when you really come and you submit to God's program, there's a change in you that everybody notices, and you become an opposition to them and them an opposition to you. So God called Abraham. He couldn't just call him right on into the same old stuff. He called him into truth. And so, it's been this way in every age. Every time God's going to do something, when he calls whoever it is, he moves them into that same situation where now they're different. He's called them into that's what the church means, called out.
Right.
Call you out of all the other things into something. And so here it is, we find ourselves, and we don't like it, the fact that everybody looks at us and says, well, what do you believe? That you believe a prophet? You believe these things? Well, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of the battle. God has called us, called out of the world into a special place where he can do something in our lives, and our lives will be part of his plan of redemption, and it's going to have opposition.
Yeah.
It's going to be there. Even down here in 2026, there will be opposition. And much of it, the worst opposition, is religious.
Yeah.
Right? That's the worst kind of all. Jesus said, the time will come when they'll put some of you to death and think they do God's service. And I've said before that the worst kinds of wars is religious wars.
Yeah.
Because when a person, because everybody has a desire in them for God. And you take a people who have a desire for God, and their God is some idol or something, and they believe that, and they have given themselves to that, and you start acting against that, they take you out,
right?
Because you're messing with their security is what they're thinking. So they would do that. They would persecute. So it's been that way in every age. And so when God would get a hold of someone, it changes them. Because otherwise, like I said, Abraham would still be an idolater. And same way with Israel. You know, the Bible tells us God spoke and said that Israel is my firstborn. You know, God, I think I've looked at it this way in the past, is when God brought Israel out of Egypt, and the way he did it was the price of the firstborn. And so God's, in essence, I'm just paraphrasing, since that is the price that was paid to get you out of Egypt, then you're my firstborn. I'm going to take that. And God says that. Everything that comes out of them opens a womb, first one's mine. It's just mine. First part of your tithe, your money, is tithe. It's his. That's why he says, you rob me in tithes and offerings, because that 10% is his, and offerings in there too, right? He says, Israel, I am taking you to myself to be my firstborn. Amen. He called Abraham. I'm bringing Abraham out. I've set him aside. He's called out. I'm setting him aside. He's different than the rest of the world. But I'm going to do a work through him and through his offspring, the plan of redemption, that the whole world can be saved by what I'm doing through that one man and through his offspring, if you'll just accept it. Right? So that's what he did. He became the father of faith. And then that became the nation of Israel. And God says, Israel is my firstborn. And he pronounces it to Abraham, about Abraham. He says, everyone that blesses you will be blessed, and everyone who curses you will be cursed. And that follows on to Israel. That any nations that would bless them were blessed, and ones who come against them were against them. Why? Because they had been selected, pulled out, called out a separate people for God, for his purpose. And God is just simply saying to all the other nations, if you'll just recognize what I've done in this nation here, what I'm doing in that nation, you too can be saved by what I'm doing in them. Right. But if I don't choose somebody, then you're all still lost. I have to come down and call somebody. So I call Abraham, and I call a nation there of the children of Israel, and I'm working through them, and everybody can have a blessing from that if you'll just leave me alone, let me do what I'm doing in them, and observe that, then that blessing can come to you too. But what did they do? They were offended at God's choice. Right? He could have chose anybody. He could have chose any nation, and that would have made the difference, because that's the one he called set aside. You've heard me illustrate in the past how that out of all the nations of the world, God called Israel and said, observe to all the nations, observe them, and when you do that, you'll be blessed. If you curse it, you're going to be cursed. Then in that nation of Israel, of 12 tribes, he called one tribe and said to all the rest of the tribes, I'm going to work specially with Levites. And you observe that, and that will become a blessing to you, right? And then out of the family of Levites, he picked one, out of the tribe of Levites, he picked one family for the priesthood, right? And out of that, and he picked one man, the high priest. And each one of those was a more sanctified, holy calling than the rest. But every one of them could be blessed if they would just simply observe what God was doing in those that had been called. So even the whole nation, you know, was to recognize those Levites, their position. And within the family of Levites, you had to recognize that those priests, the high priest and so forth, Aaron. That's God's program. And so if we could just not be offended, could say, well, how come he didn't call me to do that? Well, I want to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Well, if God didn't call you, and then you're going to be mad because he didn't call you to do it, then you're fighting against God's choice. Right? And so we don't want to fight against God's choice. This is going back to what I was preaching the other day about, be not offended, but believe. Don't be offended in what God is doing and how he's doing and who he's doing it through. Just stand back and look at it and know that by revelation, this is his plan unfolding. And if you can recognize that, there's a place in you for a blessing, even if he's not calling you to do it. A lot of people say, you know, I've seen it, hear the message. Everybody in the world rises up. I'm the next guy after Brother Branham. We've seen it. Instead of standing back and saying, that was the one, it was thoroughly vindicated. Now, then you know, somebody's got to say, well, but now we got to do something else. Somebody else has to rise up and become. And what they don't realize is when they do that, they're fighting against God's choice. There's a blessing in the thing that God has done. If we can just grab that, that blessing will come onto us. Amen. There couldn't be five different tribes that were priesthoods. Right? There couldn't be five different high priests. Only one. Right? And so we have to realize that, you know, these things all trickle down through the whole plan of God. And so when God called Israel, he said, they're my firstborn. And for a special reason. Israel could not live like the rest of the world. They couldn't be in idolatry, right? The fact that God called them into believing in one God and was working through them, you know, they couldn't be like the rest. They couldn't live according to what was laying in their flesh like the rest of the world had and was in their flesh and they were living. God called them into a special place. And so we realize that anytime, anything that God takes to himself special like that becomes a firstborn in essence to him. And with that, he blesses. Back to the tithing there a while ago, he said, you know, bring it into the storehouse of the Lord and I'll pour a blessing upon you that you can't receive at all. Right? And that's what God is saying. You know, give him the first 10% of your time. The first 10% of your increase. The whole thing. And what God is saying with whatever it is, he said, it's mine. In essence is saying is, you know, I've said this to many people. God has given me the ability to work with my hands and do things. And he's just saying, now I've given you the ability to do all that, and all that I require back is just 1/10. That's all I want. So give that back to him. 10% of your time, 10%. Just give that back. And then God says, and I'll take that 1/10. That's really mine to begin with. Right? I'll take that and I'll use that to be a more blessing on you that you can't even contain it all. Right. See, we need to make sure we understand this and apply this to all areas of our life. Because God is not going to be indebted to anyone. He will pay his part, amen, and more than his part, amen. And this is not about tithing today, just, you know, it just comes to mind as I'm up here, amen. So, you see why it's so important that we're not offended in what God does? I've told this before. I was speaking one time there at work, and several engineers, and I said something about the children of Israel were God's chosen people. And this one fellow, he was from Kinshasa, over in Africa, in Congo, and he said, I mean instantly, boom, just like that. Man, he was offended. It took me for a moment, you know. He said, I'd like to think that I'm God's chosen people. And my point was, and all I was just saying that God had to use somebody. He had to choose somebody to work his plan of redemption through. Right? And instead of recognize that and saying, okay, I'm not the one God chose to work through. He chose them, but through that, I am blessed. Because I recognize. Instead of doing that, he was totally offended with the fact that the concept, and it's because he's not been taught right. He's not been told. And doesn't study the scriptures to know. And that's what that was. And so, I feel for him. And in essence, what he was doing there was rejecting what God had chosen that could have been a blessing for himself. And so, God calls us into special places. And like I said a while ago, of course, when he does that, it's going to be a warred against. You know, scripture said there, I was listening to Brother Brandon yesterday, and he was saying that when Balaam And Balak. Balak hired Balaam to go and try to curse Israel. Brother Branham said, Israel was not a denomination. That's the way he said it. He said, let me prove that to you. He went to the scriptures there. And where God, where Balaam began to prophesy, began to speak, and God said, I look down upon Israel from the mountain. I see him, you know, because he was trying to get, he wanted Balak and Balaam were trying to look at the hinder parts of Israel and thinking that, well, surely there will be a curse whenever Balaam sees this part of Israel that's not living right, then surely God will bring a curse. And when he got the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, instead of cursing them because he saw the, some of the people in Israel not living the way they should, follow me? Then when the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, instead of cursing them, God says, hey, I look at them from the top of the mountain. I see everything. I see all that's there. And I have not found iniquity in Israel. Right? Why? Because God had chose them. And who God chooses, God knows how to take away their iniquity through his plan of redemption. Thank God that he knows how to do that. Even to this day, he knows how to have a people that even though they might not quite cross every T and dot every I, his plan makes them as though they didn't do it in the first place. Because if he didn't do that, where would we be? So he says, I've not seen the iniquity in them. I don't regard that. And he said about Israel, he said, and they shall not be counted among the nations. Right? They were not part of the nations. They were separate people. And that's what and that's what we are as Christians. They were not to be counted among denominations. Right? If we could just always think about that. Those nations against the nation of Israel is just like denominations against God's people, the message. Just always follow that. It's parallel. And so it's so important to remember these things. You know, and so as I said, they came Babylon, and then God called Abraham out, called Israel into this place. By and by, Israel began to compromise. And eventually, Israel was carried away into Babylon. And I've said in the past, I actually did the study, and I've got materials on it that I have to go find them or on a computer or maybe some printouts to show you that when David had Solomon, and Solomon did what he did, and the kingdom was divided between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And every king, I've got a list of every king, how long they, who was on the throne at what time, when all the other ones was. And Jeroboam was over Israel, and Rehoboam was over Judah. And there was 10 tribes and 2 tribes, and they all come down. And I could show you side by side, it's like a timeline, each king that was on the throne when another one was. And come all the way down, and at some point Israel had gotten so tied up in idolatry that God said, I'm done with you. But he still dealt with Judah. And so going down, even further down in history, and at some point Judah got so bad off that God said, I'm done there, and they were carried away to Babylon. Right? That was punishment to them. But how many knows that God could not have, he could not leave them in Babylon because he had to bring a Messiah.
Right.
And the only way he could do that was to have them in their promised land. So he couldn't have left, the Messiah could not have come to them while they were in Babylon. So God said, I'm going to, you deserve this. I've let you be carried away into Babylon. I've done this, as we read there. But I want you to know, so that I can fulfill my word, I'm going to bring you back into Jerusalem. I'm going to call you out of Babylon. Right? And so we see that that's what he did there. And need to keep these on. I've increased my font size up to 14. And I still need these. But I know that at some point, if I live long enough, it'll come back to me. I won't have to wear these anymore. Amen. But Israel was divided. They became divided between north and south. And this is where Brother Ram come along and showed how the United States was divided, north and south. And they warred against each other. Right? And so these things are real. These things are history. These things mean things. And we got to take them to heart because they do affect what's going on in our day. Amen. Israel was carried away into Babylon. And so God says, so I can bring my word to pass. I'm going to pull you, call you back out of Babylon into the promised land. And when he did this, there rose up this particular man by the name of Zerubbabel. And I'll say it that way. Sometimes I'll say Zerubbabel. It's easier to say. There was Zerubbabel, that God used instrumental in helping them and in coming back to Jerusalem, rebuilding the walls there. And the name Zerubbabel means out from Babylon. Right? So this man, that very name of that man and that ministry, if you want to call it, was there to help bring them out of Babylon and put them back into their promised word, into their promised land. Keep in mind, that promised land to them is the promised Holy Ghost to us. But in our day, at the end of time, where we have full word revealed, the word, the person of Christ and the word all, it's always been one and the same. And so to have a return to the Holy Ghost in our day is not return just to gifts of the Spirit, but is return to the word. Right? And so when he was calling them out of Babylon back into their land, bring over in our day to call us out of Babylon would bring us into the word for the day, where God in that word could bring to pass what he said he's going to do. And he cannot do that until we get there, to that. So the same thing that happened there to the children of Israel and carried away into Babylon, and he had to call them back, and he did that. There was a ministry of Zerubbabel. The New Testament churches did the same thing. They began to slide away from the word and became carried away into Babylon. And this is why in Revelation chapter 18, 4, God comes along and says, through the angel comes down, he says, come out of her, my people. Because we were in Babylon. Same thing happened in our New Testament, happened in the Old Testament. And God says, in order for me to fulfill my word, I've got to call my people out of all that denominational nonsense. They're there because they left my word. They're there because they went to worship in all kinds of ways. And so he has to bring us, just like calling Abraham out of idolatry, he has to call us out of that into a place where we know there's one God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And so we have to hear a message. There has to be a ministry that will rise up on the end time that would be Zerubbabel again, that would call us out of that into the place where God can finally bring to pass a body change, or bring to pass Christ coming to us. Same things happened. Amen. And so Israel being carried away into Babylon, that was the condition they were in when God come along and said, hey, I want you to understand, I want you to have expectations of where I'm taking you. Because you might have been carried away into Babylon here, but I've got special place for you. I've got good thoughts concerning you. I'm going to bring to pass, they're not evil thoughts. My thoughts concerning you are good. And he wants you, he said, to bring you to an expected end. So the New Testament churches did the same thing, carried away into Babylon. God comes along here at the end time and says, come out of her, my people, bringing you back to the Holy Ghost, to the word, not to traditions. You know, you can have, the Holy Spirit can cause you to do things and become a tradition, but you can have those traditions without the Holy Ghost, right? Just like everything else. So you want, nothing wrong with doing something as a tradition as long as it comes from living right, comes from the Holy Spirit. And so we find out in our day we have a ministry that has come on the scene that is our Zerubbabel, our helper to help us come out of Babylon. and come back into the promised word where God can bring to pass everything he promises. And we'll find this in Zechariah chapter 4. We're going to read here. And we know the scriptures, we'll read it, where it says that this Zerubbabel, he'll bring forth a capstone. And with shoutings, crying, grace, grace. Amen? So she'll bring that up, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. And I'm going to make comments as I go through here. And the angel that talked with me came again and awakened me as a man that is waking out of his sleep. How many know that we might feel like we're awake, but God can come and he can wake us into a realm where we see things clearly and we realize in that realm, hey, I've been asleep. You can be asleep at the wheel, right, and not know it. That's why the scriptures always says, watch and pray. Those that are asleep, sleep in the night. Those that are drunk in the night. We don't want to be drunken. We want to be awake. Amen? So this angel said to him, what seest thou? And I looked and behold, a candlestick of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top. Now I want to show you here. Here's this end time ministry that Zerubbabel, Brother Branham, Christ in Brother Branham. Let me make it clear that way. What's one of the things that Brother Branham pointed us to? Seven church ages. So here's the seven church ages, right? And seven lamps thereon. Seven pipes, seven lamps, which are on the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered the angel and said, an angel that talked to me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked to me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. I think, in our day, this is the word of the Lord. These seven candlesticks coming to a prophet. You follow me? The understanding of these things coming to him, and he takes it to the people. This is the word of the Lord. This is what God's going to bring to this one who's going to bring us out of Babylon and bring us right back into the word for the day where we need to be. This is part of what he's going to be talking about and doing. That this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Right? We have to pray for revelation. Pray for anointing of revelation. Mm-hmm. And so, let me just say a few things here before I read this next one. So, Israel had been carried into Egypt, down into Egypt. You don't escape from Egypt unless God helps you. Here, then they were carried away into Babylon. You don't get out of that unless God helps you. Right? And I'm saying that because in our day, so much religious nonsense, and we were all carried away into all this false teaching thing, because that's the way it goes when you get away from God's word. But God says, I'm going to have to bring my word back. You don't escape from that unless God comes along and does something. Unless he sends a ministry like Zerubbabel to come and help you come back and rebuild the Jerusalem, rebuild the walls, make a belief system such that you come and you can once again reign there in that. You can't. It's got to be built back and restored back, and it has to be done by one who's anointed to do so. And the word of the Lord that comes to do that, we're looking at it here, is part of what we talk about all the time. Church ages, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. It's all part of this ministry of Zerubbabel. What is he doing? He's bringing us out of Babylon back to the place where God can fulfill his word. Amen. And so, looking at Babylon, a great system, a great mountain. Who can deal with that? I remember when we went out to Colorado and stayed there at that cabin there. Behind the cabin, there was a big old mountain there behind it. And some of the brothers in the church decided they were going to climb that thing. Well, I went about 50 yards up the bottom where it was still kind of like this. And I'm like, no, you'll go on. And they went on up and got on top of that mountain. The young ones. Right? And I think, didn't you go up there, Brother Daniel? Yes. See, he's still young too. Or a few years ago anyway, when we went out there. But a mountain is hard to deal with. Right? You can't go through it, go around it, over it. It's just hard to deal with. And so this Babylon system was set. Nobody's going to deal with this unless God helps you. But God has a ministry. And look what he says about this. He says, who art thou, O great mountain? Yeah. Right? Before Zerubbabel. You think you're going to stop Zerubbabel from doing this work? No, not at all, because God has sent him. God has sent him, and God is going to use him to bring his people out, and this mountain is going to become, as he said there, thou should become as a plain.
That's right.
Let me say this. What did it say about John the Baptist? All the high places will be made low.
Yeah.
Right? John come out there, and he had no regard for all those highfalutin. Right? It say to every one of them, they're all the same. He just brought it all down to one level playing field.
Yep.
Right? So there you look at that. Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace in it. Notice it didn't say capstone. It said headstone. Okay. This is speaking language that only we have come into in this day by this message to understand the pyramid, the capstone, the headstone, right? Okay. He shall bring forth the headstones with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel hath laid the foundations of the house. Who laid the foundation and started this thing? Jesus Christ did.
Right.
He's our Zerubbabel acting out through ministry, right? So the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the house, this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Amen. I love this part. For who hath despised the day of small things? Who hath despised a man that came from Kentucky that didn't even know how to read hardly? Who's despised that? Well, they do. We don't. We love it. Right? But they despise it. Right? Don't despise the day of small things. For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet. You know what the plummet is? When you're going to build something, you got to have a plumb line to make sure it's perfectly straight up and down, you know, the way things are built. So this plummet's going to be in the hand of Zerubbabel. Who is God going to use to build this thing back correct? Zerubbabel. The plummet's in his hand. Right? To call people out of Babylon to something that's been reestablished and built right. Right? It's in his hand. Don't despise, don't be offended in what God has done. Don't be offended in the who, what, when, where, and how, and why. When God chooses someone, like when he chose a man from Kentucky and said, he's going to be the one that's going to have that plummet in his hand, Christ working through him, do not despise it. Don't be offended. Because that's God's way. And if I can recognize that and say, praise God, that's it, I'll bless that. Then that blessing comes upon me. Comes upon you. But if I want to fight against it, look what happens. And look what we've seen happen to those who fight against it. Right? But look at this. You'll see that plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. I want to ask you a question. Who are those seven? Paul, Irenaeus, Martin. You follow me? Luther, Wesley, Brother Branham. Oh, that's the seven. Christ coming to rebuild this thing right, and he's got seven with him. You follow me? The opening of seven seals. This is how this is all going to unfold, and we've been looking at it here in our day. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth, not just to Israel, because this is a gospel to all nations.
Yes.
Right? This ministry is going to, because it's redeeming a people from around the whole world.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I love God's word. So true, so correct. So I said all this just to come to the end and to say this. This is what our expectations should be upon.
Right.
What God is doing and what he's promised. Amen?
Amen.
What he's promised to do. Like I said, it's not a trivial thing for him to bring the people out of Babylon. Because Babylon's certainly a formidable adversary. As with every age, the message that has come is our birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to have respect to it. We want to lay aside every weight and every sin that would hinder us. Amen? That would beset us. and I don't know, but for me, I love this message. I love the way God brought it out. I was listening, and Brother Branham was talking about Balaam, Balak, and he said, talking about Balaam and that mule, and he said, or that donkey, he said, don't call him a mule, because a mule's hybrid. He wouldn't get it.
Right.
You know? And everybody was, everybody was laughing in the audience. You listened to him laugh, because that was just the simplicity of her prophet. That hey, if that donkey would have been a mule, he'd been stubborn. There would have been no way that God could have worked through that. So don't call him that. And everybody was kind of laughing because I love the simplicity of it. I love the who, what, when, where, and why, and how. Because when I hear these things, I don't see it drawing me outside. I see it drawing me in as part of it. So I love it. I love the message. I love the chiffon
yeah.
rayon story. I love it. Right? This is how God reached down to the common people to bring them to the place to reestablish them into these truths. I love the story where Brother Branham is out there and the motor won't start because he listened to his mother-in-law, and he's about to go over the falls, and he's, God, forgive me. This is how God got our attention.
That's right.
Right.
Through these things. I'll never do it again, Lord. I love the story where his wife said, Bill, why did you call me back? Beautiful birds from tree to tree. Why did you call me back? See, that was a lot of suffering. I'm not saying I love that. But I love the way because it all had to come that way. Because in order for there to be victories, there has to be battles.
Right.
In order for there to be life, there has to be sufferings that go with that. So we love those things. I love the story of the infidel. But you know what? He wasn't really an infidel. He hadn't seen anything manifested before him to quicken that seed that was laying there yet. Right? I love the story of the woman in Memphis there, the Aunt Jemima woman. Howdy, Parson. How'd you know I was a preacher? Think about these things that God has done in our day, and he's made it so real. I mean, it's recorded on tape, and a lot of these things, we can talk to people that were there and experience these things.
Yeah.
I love the fact that sometimes Brother Branham would say Noah when he meant to say Abraham. And God was okay with that. And I love the fact that he could say 700 instead of 7,000, and God's okay with that. Right? Yeah, apparently because he didn't stop him. But then there were other times when Brother Brown would make him, and he would stop and say, oh, there's something wrong, something somewhere. Because God had a problem with that. You understand? I love those things that this message has come that way. The photo there at the Sam Houston Coliseum, how all that unfolded and how that now that it's in the Library of Congress, and by the way, I've went there and looked at it. It's not physically, but I've gone onto the Library of Congress website, and it's there. You know, people can say whatever they want. I love the story of Congressman Upshaw, a congressman who was healed after all those years of being crippled, and standing there in amongst the leaders of our nation and declare these things, right? I love it. Can we just take a stroll down through the message and look at everything that God has done to catch our attention so that we would know this is our Zerubbabel. And God's saying to us, you're coming out of Babylon, and I want you to have high expectations of where I'm taking you to, because I'm taking you to a place that is my thoughts that are good thoughts and not evil thoughts. Amen? We love these things, and we embrace it because it has pain and victory in it. Amen? Let's let Brother Tim come to his music. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
I think we should have high expectations. I don't think we should be just content with where we are. We should be wanting more and more, and all these promises, and striving with God. You know, as I forget how Brother Branham said it, agonizing with no more agonizing with God to fulfill His word. We should agonize with God to fulfill His word. Say, God, I am not happy where I'm at. I want more. I want my family to have more. I want every one of them in the house of God, and that You've promised it. That's where I'm. And until we're just plumb out of here with a body change.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's just bow our hearts down for a moment. Lord Jesus, we love You this morning, Lord. Just appreciate Your word, Lord, that it's able to speak and show us where we are. And Lord, I'm myself a poor example of sharing these things, Lord, but I just pray that You take these efforts that I've given and multiply them. Lord, you know that it's been this congestion and weakness in my body, but I give it to You, Lord, and ask that You just multiply and use it and bless Your people. Lord, we love You, and we pray, God, that You would strengthen each one and heal each one, those that are missing today, that You restore them completely. We love You, Lord, and we proclaim You as our all in all. Amen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You love Him?
Amen.
You know that song, Going Up Yonder?
Somebody sang that.
I would
play it.
Does anybody know it? I know my wife does. Yeah, that's it.
I don't know the word. I don't know the
words. I've got it right here.
I don't know the verses very well.
We can try it. This is that totally out of my comfort zone, but this song has been on my heart this morning, so probably G. Let's try G. maybe go to A a little bit higher. I know some of you heard this. If anybody asks you where I'm going, thank you. not be up there. It might just be right here, but it's going to be in another dimension. Amen. I'm looking at all these different ones that have gone on. Brother Ernie, Bella Nueva, Brother Biscoe, just all the different ones that we stood and fellowshiped with and enjoyed with, and they're there now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, it starts making you want to go. Starts making you want to go up yonder to be with him. Amen. You know, death is, I told someone the other day, I'm not afraid to be there. We don't like what might happen to get there between here and there, you know, the suffers or whatever that's about. But, you know, we're just looking forward to being there with them. Brother Harp's over there. Brother Joel's over there.
Yep.
Sister Nell's over there.
Yep.
My goodness. Amen. And I don't know, maybe the Lord lets them listen over the banister and hear us talking about them. I don't know. Probably, you know, can't say. But amen. We're starting to have more over there than we got back here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going up yonder. Amen. We'll sing that again as we can go. God bless you. If anybody asks you.